Turn to James, James chapter 5. And James chapter 5, and I'm just going to pull out a couple of verses here. In verses 16 through 18, I'll just read these for sake of time. And verse 16, when you get there, it says, "Confessing your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not in the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one of you convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins." And so I want to talk about effectual faith tonight. And, you know, the Bible says in the book of 1 John that it's our faith that overcomes the world. Amen. It's not what we do, as Pastor talked this morning. It's not how well we can keep the law, so to speak, and do everything just right. But it's our faith. It was Abraham's relationship with God before the law even came to pass. The Bible says Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And so we see over and over the subject of faith in the Bible. So let's start out with a word of prayer. And Lord, we'll thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your goodness to us tonight. And we'll thank you for all that you will do in the message. And Lord, thank you for the food. And Lord, these folks here and the work they're doing in this community. Lord, we just pray that you bless their efforts. And Lord, that many people would be reached with the gospel and lives would be changed and people's lives would be touched. Lord, by the power of God, by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, be with my lips, Lord, as I bring forth the message that you have tonight. And Lord, thank you for giving me the opportunity to open your word again. And Lord, just pray that you'd help me be an encouragement tonight. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And yes, that was me that was getting baptized up there, that long-haired hippie that was in the lake. But you know what? That was a great time in my life when I realized the truth. And I remember that I got saved, but I didn't know any Christians. I got saved in my bedroom, and then I just didn't know any Christians. So, but I knew something was different. I remember after praying, asking the Lord to save me, laying my head on the pillow that night and thinking, it's done. I finally did it. I had for months wondered whether or not I was a sinner. You know, it's kind of odd, you know. We all know we're a sinner. Look at it now and think, why did I ever question whether I was a sinner or not? You know, of course I was a sinner. But for months I just had to kind of mull that over in my head and realize I was a sinner. And I confessed that to the Lord and I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Later met some Christians. They invited me to that camp. And that camp was a 5-day camp, and that was the first time I ever heard preaching from behind the pulpit in my life. And I remember, like, the second day, coming forward and emptying probably every tear in my entire body. Not because of sorrow, but just joy. Knowing that I had come to the knowledge of the truth. I didn't know what truth was. I didn't even know there was a such thing as truth. By the time I was 17 years old, my philosophy in life was eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. I wasn't going to be miserable like everybody else, but I had no purpose until Jesus came. Amen. I thank God for that. And so James talks about our faith. And it says, confessing your faults one to another, praying one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, it talks about prayer is what it talks about. But I want to talk about effectual faith. And I believe that one of the things that creates an effective walk with God is our prayer life. And we hear it all the time. We hear about, you know, praying. We hear about reading our Bible and the basic fundamentals of the Christian walk. But I honestly believe that one of the greatest things that's lacking in our life as Christians is a fervency in prayer. And we see that in 18 there when it says that Elias prayed, verse 17, he was a man subject to like passions as we are. And I just want to point out that, you know, we look at these Bible characters, and in Sunday school, we talk about Bible characters like Daniel, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Joseph, and all these guys, these great men of God, Moses, that throughout history have proved God. And then here we see Elias, and it says, a man subject to like passions. And what the Bible's saying there is this man is just like you and I. And he's no different. The only difference is where he, what he decided to do with his faith. And he took his faith and he had a fervent prayer life before God. It said he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not by the space of 3 years and 6 months. That's something else when one man can pray to God and it doesn't rain. Now listen, you know, I've heard this saying before that God, that prayer does not change God, prayer changes you. And I believe that. I believe that because you get closer. But there's a part of that that you have to be careful not to believe. Because prayer does change God. When you don't ask, right, like this morning, you ask not because you ask not, and you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your lust. The fact of the matter is prayer is asking and receiving. One of the greatest books I ever read was John, I don't even think I totally finished it, but John R. Rice's book called Asking and Receiving. That's what prayer is about. If we don't ask God for things, if we don't ask God for the power of God in our lives to be effective in everything we do, then we're not going to get it. And I know this because there's days, I mean, it's my habit to go out soul winning every single Saturday and to go door knocking, but it can very easily become routine. Okay, I knock on the door and I talk to somebody and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and how they can know for sure that when they die they go to heaven. And then, you know, sometimes I just got to, I stop and think, man, that was just putting my duty in. I just did my duty today. That's really all I did. I didn't really want to go out today. I wasn't really motivated to go out today. And you know, the Lord, I've kind of slowed down a little bit and thought, you know what, I really need to make sure that what I do is effective for the Lord. And the only way that we can know surely that we have some effectiveness in our life is to have the power of God present with us whenever we go. In other words, there's a difference between just knocking on the door and talking to somebody and knocking on the door and knowing that God put a divine appointment right there. And that, okay, now I have an opportunity to talk to this individual and you know it's of the Lord and you know it's an answer to prayer and God lead you along the way. How many times I've actually had more times just out doing my business to talk to the Lord that were divine appointments than I have sometimes just door knocking. And I'm not knocking, I'm saying we all need to be out door knocking, but what I'm saying is we need to be always looking for opportunities. We need to be effectual in our witness by being prayed up and by being full of the Holy Spirit. Turn to Philemon chapter, and I'm going to show you what I mean. I turn to Philemon chapter 1. And I want to show you what Paul prayed for Philemon here. Paul, verse 1, a prisoner of Jesus Christ to Timothy and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. And to our beloved Apaya and Achippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church of thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God. Now listen to what Paul says. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. And then verse 6 is the content of his prayer. He says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You see, so I think that Paul's desire was that his faith would always be effectual. You know, sometimes we have faith, but it's not very effectual as Christians. We're not serving God the way that we ought to be because we're not filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul's prayer was that Philemon's faith would become effectual. Sometimes we have faith in God, but we're not as effective as we could be. The effect of our faith in many instances is based upon how fervently we pray. And it's my desire in life to have effective faith. And I want to just say this. I know that numbers can be a measurement of how the Lord is growing a church. However, numbers should not be our goal. Our goal is to be effective in our faith. Being effective in our faith is an individual choice which we all can make regardless of the amount of people we talk. In other words, tomorrow when I get up, I want to find out what the Lord wants me to do with my day. And I want to pray and I want to seek the Lord's face. And as the pastor said, we love because our love for God is why we do what we do. And why we become salty Christians. The Bible says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? And that's what I'm talking about tonight, is losing our savor as Christian, our saltiness. And I thought about the example of I'm a food kind of store. I like to cook a little bit. I like to taste good foods and all that kind of thing. And I remember a couple of times this happened to me. I'm shopping in the store, and I like olives. I really do like olives a lot. So I'm looking at this on the shelf, and I see the same olives that I normally get, you know? So I grab them and brought them home, and we're just eating olives, and I'm like, wow, those olives tasted a little funny, you know? And so I went back to the store, and I did it again. And I thought, what am I doing? Am I getting a different brand of olives, or what is it? And then next time I went to the store, I looked at it really close. I thought, something's not right. I'm picking the wrong olives, or the wrong brand olives here. And what I realized is it said there's just a little spot. It was the same exact jar of olives, but there's a little spot that said low sodium. And I thought, you crooks, I just bought two bottles of those things and I didn't even like them at all. And so what I'm trying to say is, you know, sometimes things appear to be perfect and just right, you know, and you get, in that case, I got something that I didn't expect. I got something that wasn't salted at all. And what an awful taste. I mean, for me, I have to have salt. I like salt. Maybe there's people in here that like stuff with low salt, but I like salt. And the Bible says, if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Can you imagine eating bacon that wasn't salty? You know, there's something to salt, and a Christian needs to have some saltiness about him. You know, we can continue to go through the duties of whatever God wants us to do, but if we're not salty Christians, if we're not filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God, if we're not in love with the Lord, as Pastor said tonight, it's all going to, you'll burn out over time. You're not going to have that longevity of a relationship with God, which is what takes us through this world and this life. And so I want to be a salty Christian. And the Bible says that ye are the salt of the earth. And one example of that is, I think of Lot. Lot went down to Sodom. Who knows the story of Lot in here? I don't want to back up. Okay. We know that Abraham and Lot were having a little trouble, right? A little feud, right? And so Abraham and Lot get together and decide to part ways. And so Lot, the Bible says, pitched his tent towards Sodom. Well, when Lot went down to Sodom, he had a whole army of people with him, didn't he? He had a lot of people with him. I don't know how many, and I'm not going to figure out what the number is there, but he had a lot of people with him. But when he came out of Sodom, how many did he have? So here's the point. What happened to Lot's saltiness? Lot was not a salty Christian, was he? You know, Christians like salt ought to be a preservative in this life. You know, if the salt loses its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? What good is it? You know, once we lose our salt as Christians, what good are we to the Lord? And we need to be salty Christians. The Bible says in John, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And so that reference is directly to you and I. People should notice that we are inviting others to come to this fountain. Our lives are clearly supposed to be lived in such a way that it causes others to thirst for what we have. If we live and act just like the world, what difference would there be? When people get saved, they are clearly believing in the God, in a God that is righteous and holy. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So what I want to say is, just using an example here, and in my slide presentation, you saw some pictures, and not to bring up a sore subject, but you saw some pictures of some reality TV stars. And for those of you who know, they are the Duggars. And we've had opportunity to meet those folks and fellowship with them and talk with them. Now, they're not exactly the flavor we are as far as that goes, but we've enjoyed the times we got to meet them and fellowship with them. And something has taken place in that with the Duggar family that has given God a black eye. Okay? And for those of you who know the story, I'm not going to bring out the details. But my point, what I'm trying to make is there's some saltiness that was lost there. There's some effectiveness that was lost there. If they were glorifying God at all, if anybody was coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ through their family, and through their witness for the Lord and their trust in God, it's really kind of a hopeless situation at this point, in the sense that not that God can't forgive, not that God can't overcome that, but their effectiveness is, in some sense, is lost. It's lost. Why? Because a testimony has been ruined. A testimony has been ruined and a trust has been broken. And when trust is broken, it makes it that much harder to look to that person and to ever trust them again. The Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So what am I saying? The saltiness is gone there. The effectiveness is gone. Now, if the particular person I'm talking about gets his life right, which he is trying to do that, I know that for a fact, and he begins to serve the Lord again and gets back plugged in to serving God, and do you think he's going to have the same effectiveness that he had one time before? No, he's never going to have the same effectiveness because he's lost his saltiness. And so what I'm saying is we need to be effectual in our Christian life. We need to be sincere and real. And I've been around long enough to know that, hey, you know, there's a lot of people that have a lot of talents and a lot of abilities, but not a lot of them are sincere. There's a lot of false Christians out there. There's a lot of people who just put on a show instead of having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I'm saying is, as Christians, as an individual, as somebody who wants his family to grow up to serve God, Lord, please help me be as real as I can. You know, that's my prayer out of sincerity. People ask me all the time, how do you guys do it with 12 children? How do you raise 12 children? You know what I say? I don't really have all the answers, but a lot of it's on my knees and my wife's knees. Because I don't begin to have all the answers. But I know somebody who does. And I know somebody who carries an individual through life in their weakness. You know, Moses, the Bible says that Moses was not a man that was eloquent. And he fought God, in fact, on speaking before Pharaoh. And then God had to bring Aaron and everything. But God used Moses to do a great work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he wants to use each and every one of us. So what makes us effective? What makes us effective is allowing him to use us in the area that God wants us to use. Instead of trying to sometimes be like that person over there. Man, I wish I was a missionary to Africa. Well, maybe God hasn't called you to Africa. Maybe he has, maybe he hasn't. Maybe he hasn't called you to be a missionary. Maybe he hasn't called you to be a preacher. Maybe he's called you to do a specific thing that if you were just obedient to that, and submissive to that, you could be effective for the Lord in your life and in that area. And so, 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So it starts with not having a love for the world, but a love for God. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And number three, Christians like salt add seasoning to the world. Job says in 6:6, can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? John 12:32 says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Our lives should draw others to Christ, much like salt draws out the best flavor in any kind of food. Number four, Christians like salt must have contact to have an influence. John 4:15 says, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that thou sayest truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, and when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship. If we remain disconnected, there will be no real influence. Jesus had a connection with many people when he walked here on earth. You know, sometimes you have this, I don't believe in so-called social gospel, where lifestyle evangelism, where that's the only thing you ever do, you don't ever talk to anybody about the Lord. I believe we ought to be telling people that Jesus saves. I believe we ought to be quoting Scripture to people. We ought to be memorizing Scripture. But I also believe that if your life doesn't back up what you talk about, you're in trouble. And that's where effective faith comes in. You know, it's one thing to talk about being a Christian. It's another thing to be a Christian and to talk. Like Pastor said, I hope that my life always backs up our music. I really do. That's my prayer. I want my life to back up our music. I want people to know that we serve a holy and righteous God. There's separation for a reason. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And you see, the world's philosophy of Jesus Christ is becoming just a feeling. It's just a feeling. That's what love is about. It's just a feeling. Well, how would a God of love send anybody to hell? I used to have multitude of debates with Jehovah Witnesses and different things, and over the years realized that that's just a big waste of time. But anyways, how could a God of love send anybody to hell? Just the way He can take somebody to heaven. Because God is a just God. And He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But if they don't believe on Jesus Christ, they can't have salvation. But see, there's a difference. And what I'm trying to say is the salt is different. When we're salty Christians, we're different. And we're separated. We dress differently. We talk differently. We act differently. We have different families. Or at least we should have different families. We grow in the grace of the Lord. The Lord, the Bible says, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's our job as Christians to grow up in Him so that we can be stronger Christians. So God loved us, but He loved us so much that He didn't let us stay the way we are. He delivered us. He set our feet upon a rock. He gave us a foundation to build our lives upon, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. And without Him, we can do nothing. And so we're supposed to be holy so that we can be the salt of the earth, and people can see that in us. And if we remain disconnected, there won't be an influence. We're left here to have an impact. Salt in the Bible could have lost its impact due to the impurities. And, you know, and I got kind of ahead of myself earlier, but salt was also a preserver before refrigerators and ice boxes. We used to use salt to preserve things. And salt, but salt, like the Bible kind of salt, could have lost its saltiness, could have lost its capability to preserve because of the impurities of the world. And I believe that's what can take place in a Christian's life. It's amazing sometimes the comparisons that the Lord would use. We can lose our saltiness by the influences that are in the world. The Bible says about Lot, and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And so we have to keep our guard up. We have to stay close to God. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Because that's where our life is. Our life is hid in Christ. Our life is in the Spirit of God and in the power of God. And so we have to walk in the Spirit. The world's influence has watered down our saltiness. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. And when I think of that verse, I'm thinking, man, Lord, please. I don't talk to the Lord like that, but Lord, please help me not to be a useless piece of dirt trodden under the foot of men. I want to be used by God, and I want my life to replicate a life of faith. The Bible says in 1 John that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. You know, when people see us and see everything that's happened, I don't want them to see this grand and glorious ministry. I have family that has seen where God's brought us. And just unbelievable, cannot believe what God has done by faith in our family. What is that? It's not a testimony to me, it's a testimony to my God. Or at least I hope it to be. Because if they can see that God is a God of His Word and a God that has taken care of us through thick and thin because we've tried to live by faith, then they can see we have a relationship with somebody that's true and holy and righteous. I'm not saying that we don't go through trials. Sure, we go through trials. And we always should stay on top side. But they need to see The Bible says in Hebrews that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we hope in God and we trust Him to have, and we have faith in Him to provide what He does, to lead and guide and to help us serve Him. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." I just quoted that. "And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." 1 Peter 1:15 says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, saith the Lord." And so, does that mean that we're holier than now? No, but we have a standard. We have something to live by. God clearly showed us the difference between clean and unclean, and I'm not saying that we go back to the Old Testament, but what I'm saying is God made us separate from the world. The Bible says, "Marvel not if the world hate you. It hated me before it hated you." And we're not supposed to marvel about those things. First, in Peter it says, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice." See, there's many times in our minds that we're going to think it's strange the way people are treating us and the way the world's treating us. But the Bible says that's going to come. "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So what are we getting at? Our mind, our mindset. No matter what we go through, we realize that God is with us. And that comes from staying close to God. That comes from a life of prayer. That comes from being in prayer enough I'm preaching to myself because this is something that I need. I know that my prayer life is lacking. And so I want a strong enough prayer life, but I also know that the power of God is in prayer. And I know I've seen the difference with days that have been filled with prayer versus days that haven't been filled with prayer. And I've seen the difference in the effect of both days. And I remember a brother I used to pray with before the services. We used to go to First Bible Baptist Church in Rochester, New York, and I used to pray with a fella. He had cancer of the throat, and he could talk, but it was real hard to understand him and stuff. Well, we'd pray together. And I remember walking out of the room one Sunday morning before the service, and he grabbed my arm and he stopped me, and I really enjoyed praying with him, and he stopped me and he says, "Hey," he says, "Brother David," he says, "don't ever stop praying." He said, "There's a lot of power in prayer." And you know, we really need to tap into that power. It's not just a matter of knowing it as much as it is to tap into that power and to be ready always to give an answer of the hope that lies within us. You know, I may not be the easiest person to tell. Sometimes I struggle when I try to talk to somebody about the Lord. But that's not what matters. What matters is that God is working in my heart to tell somebody about the Lord. And sometimes I know the scriptures. Sometimes I know the doctrine so well that I could confuse somebody by quoting so much scripture and not being simple enough to actually just lead somebody to the Lord. You know what I'm saying? And so what I mean is we need to be sensitive to the Lord and we need to be walking with God. We need to walk with God. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Man, what a day, what an amazing thing to think you walked so close to God that one day you just walked from this corrupt world right into eternity. Elijah, the same thing. Elijah didn't see death. Isn't that amazing? These men walked with God. And I want to walk with God. I want to have an effectual faith. And so, Paul's prayer to Philemon was that the communication of his faith may become effectual. And I want the communication of my faith to become effectual. And I hope that you do as well. And Numbers, God will grow us as we grow in the Lord. And it'll be a natural thing. But our goal should be to be effective. And then as a result, we'll be touching people's lives. 1 Corinthians 3:1 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe? Even as the Lord gave to every man, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." The Bible places a great responsibility on us by way of prayer. Without prayer, we cannot expect much from God. But if we bring all our concerns and all our burdens and all the people who bother us and ask the Lord to help us and to make us better and more effective Christians for Christ, He will. And what I mean by that is Peter says to cast all our care upon Him, for He cares for you. Do you know that that means all our care? That means the simplest little thing when you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off and that frustrates you, or maybe it begins to ruin your day. Commit that to the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry that I let that bother me. Please take that from me and help me to be more mature than that. Maybe something with, sometimes there's always instances between our children and the parents, because we have 12 children. So there's always something going on in the house. Lord, help us to handle that maturely every time. You know, and that's the hard thing. You get concerned. I'll just confess right now, and I'm going to close here pretty soon, but one of my weaknesses as a Christian is it's a fear, not necessarily a fear, but I guess it would be considered fear, a fear of what could happen. You know, we're out, and say our kids are getting to the point now where we can trust them for a little while. Every now and then, now my wife and I can get out for a couple hours and maybe get something to eat or spend a little daytime together. But the whole time, if I'm not careful, I'll let that thing in the back of my mind say, hey, I wonder what's going on with the kids. You know what that does? It doesn't allow me to spend time with my wife. Okay, we got to the point now where we can trust our kids. So I need to commit that to the Lord. And it seems silly sometimes, but I'll tell you right now, my life, ever since I got a hold of that verse there in Peter where it says, casting all our care upon Him, for He cares for you, that's changed my life. And I've taken every care. And when I get burdened, I take it all to Him. Every single little thing. Why? Because He does care for me. And God isn't too busy. And if God can feed the sparrows, He's paying attention to my little tiny problem that could eventually ruin my entire life if I don't get a hold of it. The Bible says that fear hath torment. So if I have a fear of something, I have to commit that to the Lord. I have to ask the Lord to help me not to fear that. Why? Because it helps my relationship with Him. It helps my faith become more effective. Because I cast all my care upon Him, for He careth for me. Lord, I'm going to go talk to this person about the Lord. I don't know what to say. But I know they're not saved. The Bible says a natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, neither can he, for he spiritually discerned. What in the world am I going to say that's going to make this guy understand that he needs salvation? How do we do that? God is the only one that can bridge the gap between the natural and the supernatural. And so we have to make an approach or steps toward being effective in everything that we do. And the only way to do that is really through prayer. Casting all our care, it means all, upon Him, for He cares for you. And that means every little thing. My kids, if they have a problem with us, cast it upon the Lord. Cast it upon the Lord. Hopefully, if it's a fault in me, God will change it. If it's a fault in you, God will change it on your side, you know, for the children. But cast all our care upon the Lord. He can take care of it, amen? And leave it there. And leave it there. And then watch what God does. And so I'm going to close with a word of prayer, but I want to say this before I close. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I challenge you to get saved today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And Jesus Christ could come back right now. The trumpet could blow and he could come back. And if you're not saved, you're going to have to answer for that. You're going to have to answer for that. And without Jesus Christ, we are without hope. We're dead in trespasses and sins. And the Bible says your sins have separated you from me. But with Christ, as a result of Christ, we can be freed from that. Because He is our righteousness. And we put our faith and trust in Him for all of our righteousness. It's His shed blood on the cross that paid the price for our sin. So I challenge you to trust in Jesus Christ and trust in His shed blood only for salvation. There's a lot of things preached out there today. A lot of works type salvations, but the Bible teaches that He did it all. When He said it is finished, that's what He meant. And I gave you a testimony about how I got saved, and I laid my head on the pillow, and I remember saying this. I did it. It's done. And I went to bed that night with the greatest peace in my heart that I had ever had in my life. And Jesus said the same thing on the cross. It is finished. He did it all. There was nothing else I had to do from that point on except for grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ so that I could be a victorious Christian.